Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to Creeps in the Crypt. As always, I'm joined by
Christian
and the not so sick anymore
ish Bailey.
So we had to take a week off because Bailey was near death.
I was down bad. I couldn't swallow it. It felt like literal shards of glass. I was eating mashed potato. I was eating mashed potatoes, and I was like, "This is so bad, it's so painful." And that's on strep. I stay strepped.
Stay strepped.
Pew. I put that on my story.
Thank you for not bringing that shit here.
Yeah, no viral plague over here.
Nah.
Yeah, we can't be having that. But things have returned to normal. We're back, and after the last episode we put out, we've figured we'd do something a little bit more lighthearted and fun.
I love how you say back to normal, like it ever was normal.
It was never normal.
Back to weird.
Never normal. But anyway, guys, make sure you are sharing the show. You can, if you listen to us on Spotify, share our Spotify link by just hitting the share button, and you can share the episode you're listening to on your Instagram story and your Facebook story.
Please.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And also, yeah, make sure you download the episodes.
Please.
That's how we know you like what you like. And boy, do you guys like that sick fuck that we covered last episode. The downloads have been real good on that.
Hello, bitch.
fuck, that's how I should have opened this episode up.
Oh, yeah, you should have.
But anyway, is there anything you guys want to talk about before we get into this?
No. Not that I can think of.
All right. Well, without further ado, guys, let's get into Geoff the Talking Mongoose, or Jeff the Talking Mongoose, but it's spelt with a G.
It's like Jif and Gif.
Yeah.
So I'm a Gif girl, but I'm going to go Jeff on this one.
Go Jeff on this one.
Okay.
That's what Jeff wants to be called, but he spells it like an asshole.
Got it. All right. So in 1917, James and Margaret Irving moved into a 130-year-old farmhouse called Dorlish Cashin, settled on the Isle of Man, where it's rumored that fairies and other mythical creatures reside there as well. It is in the Irish Sea between England and Ireland. The Irvings were sheep farmers who quickly got settled into routine. Wake up early, tend to the animals, eat dinner, go to bed, and get a good night's rest, and get up the next day and do it all over again. About 2 years after the move to Dorlish Cashin, they welcomed their baby girl, Vori. About 15 years later, something strange began to happen at Dorlish Cashin. It was late September of 1931. The Irvings heard strange tapping sounds coming from behind a wall in their home.
So this is like post-World War I Europe. Like, they're still rebuilding from World War I.
Right.
Yeah.
History.
History.
Great. So at first, the tapping was nothing too worrisome. It's like the pitter-patter of little feet scurrying about along with high-pitched hisses and snarls.
It's like any night here with the cats.
Yeah, I was
going to
say. I was like,
same.
Literally, we were complaining before we started recording about the cats keeping us up at like 4 a.m.
They're having a meeting.
Yeah, who can make an obstacle course out of the furniture?
It's important. They need their exercise.
Well, we do kind of enable it. We give them tunnels.
True. You guys are a bunch of enablers. And you gave them drugs.
Yeah, they were catnipped up.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
Tonight's going to be interesting.
No catnip before 7 p.m. So, the Irvings assumed it was a mouse, and they didn't really think that it was that big of a deal. But it was in the wall that separated two bedrooms. After a few sleepless nights, the family grew tired of the noises. So James set out some rat traps in order to try and capture the animal, but it would never take the bait. The noises just continued on and on and on, night after night. At one point, James got so fed up with the noises that he went and grabbed his gun and loaded a single round.
If this fucking thing doesn't shut the fuck up, I'm gonna blow a hole in the wall.
Literally just a single round, though, like, buddy.
He's gonna take it out.
Real confident about his shot.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you're tracking an invisible being through the walls. Good luck, man.
Right. So he loaded the single round, ready for when the creature finally showed its face, but it never did. Until the next month. The Irvings finally see their little guest for the first time. It was about 9 inches long, with yellow fur, with black specks on the tail, kind of like a ferret. And just as quickly as it showed itself, it scurried back into the wall again. Another month goes by, and the furry little guest won't leave the farmhouse. Every single night, in the middle of the night, the tapping and hissing would start up. By November, James would be at the end of his rope, and he put some rat poison on a slice of bread and
this is the funniest shit.
Left it out for the little monster at the top of the stairs in hopes that the creature would come out and eat it and die, putting an end to their misery. My goodness. So later that night, they hear the blood-curdling screams of an animal in pain that went on for a good 20 minutes. Eventually, it stopped, and they assumed that the creature living in their walls is finally dead.
Apparently, they said it sounded like somebody running a nail through a pig's snout.
Oh, my God.
Like, just screaming bloody murder for 20 minutes nonstop.
Aww.
Because they poisoned it and hurt his feelings, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, okay. So Vori ventures out of her bedroom to check on the situation. And when she got to the top of the stairs, there was nothing. No animal. Bread untouched. Which means that the animal, or whatever it was, must have somehow known that the bread was laced with poison. Whatever this furry little thing was, it was smart. It apparently has a sense of humor because it faked the screams of imminent death just to mess with the Irvings. By December, the hissing noises are gone, and they're replaced with a human-like voice coming from behind the wall. James described it as a very high-pitched voice, 2 octaves above what a normal human voice sounds like. It was a little bit muddled, similar to when a baby just begins to speak. The voice was definitely speaking words in English. It began to mimic words and phrases that the Irvings use around the house.
You can't tell any secrets in that house.
Right. They then begin to assume that whatever this thing is, it must be supernatural. The winter months at Dorlish Cashin are boring. The Irvings don't get many visitors, if any at all. It's safe to say that their furry little houseguest is the most interesting thing to happen to them in months. Possibly even years. So instead of running away from this talking animal, James begins to talk back to it. Over the next few months, he teaches the creature new words and phrases, even nursery rhymes and songs, until this thing gets a handle on the English language and starts to have full-blown conversations with the Irvings.
Yeah, just like this
little incorporeal
voice. Just having full-blown conversations with you while it's in the walls.
That's just
it's
wild.
It's like turbo poltergeist activity.
That's terrifying. So, at some point in their conversations, he tells the Irvings that he's a mongoose and that he wants to be called Jeff. Mongoose aren't native to the Isle of Man, so to say, that the family is confused as to how one found its way into their 70-acre farm is quite an understatement. But at this point,
David... And how lucky are they to get the only one that talks?
Right. But at this point, they become so accustomed to having Jeff around that they just went with it. With Jeff's newfound vocabulary, he began to tell James his life story. He began by telling James that he was born in Delhi, India, on Monday, June 7th, 1852. He told James that he was frequently hunted in India and afraid of being one day trapped, so he found his way to Dorlish Cashin on the Isle of Man. Jeff would spout pieces of wisdom and one-liners to the Irvings, but there would be times where he wasn't so worldly and funny. Sometimes he would become brash and aggressive. He'd curse and throw things around. But then there were times where he would hunt rabbits for dinner and sing the Irvings' songs.
Kind of like a house cat where he'd like...
Accurate.
Bring dead animals back as a sign of appreciation.
One time my cat brought me a cockroach onto the bed.
Mm. He was showing you how good of a hunter he is.
Like, we've seen Salem celebrate catching a lizard and then eat said lizard.
Ew-ee.
Well, he wanted us to see it. Yeah. Before he did that.
Right, right.
He's like, look what I did.
So, Jeff became obsessed with Vori in the months after he'd revealed himself to the Irvings. He becomes like her furry little shadow, following her all over the farm and even to school. You'd think having a kid with a talking pet follow them around all the time would be like a Disney movie come to life.
Yeah, I mean, they had a whole show called Mr. Ed. You know, the talking horse.
Yeah, I know.
Sure, Bailey.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I don't know. I'm sorry. So it was not a Disney movie come to life. That was hardly the case. Some nights, Jeff would just watch James and Margaret while they were trying to sleep. Other nights, he would get his little hands on a spoon from the kitchen and start clinking it on any surface that would make noise loud enough for them to be woken up.
He's like a fucking street urchin, just smacking shit to make noise for the fuck of it.
He's a fucking menace.
He's a cat.
Yeah, he's a cat. So eventually James and Margaret moved Vori's bed into their bedroom in order to keep Jeff away from her. Once Jeff realized what was going on, he lost his shit. He started banging on the walls, screaming, "I'll follow her wherever you move her." Unfortunately, moving wasn't an option for the Irvings. They put all of their money into the farmhouse and they had no source of income. Jeff was too fast and too slick to be captured, so there's nothing that the Irvings could do. They were stuck. By the start of 1932, the Irvings were at their wits' end. Jeff had upended their lives with his threats of violence and ear-piercing screams.
Yeah, this thing would just scream in the middle of the night, just for the fuck of it. Just to, like, prank the family.
Fucking menace. In a 1937 interview, James Irving talked about a letter he'd written in 1934 that documents Jeff saying, "For years, I could understand all that was said. I tried to talk, but couldn't until you taught me." In that same interview, James also said that Jeff told him, "I am a ghost in the form of a weasel, and I shall haunt you," meaning James, "with weird noises and clinking chains."
That's what makes people sassy. Think this thing's like a fairy.
He's sassy as fuck.
Because the family did offer it food, which is like kind of fairy rules. Like, if you want to commune with the fae, You have to offer them snacks and shit.
I want a fairy. James,
I don't think you do.
Why? They're bad.
Well, this thing's one. You just want this thing screaming at all hours in your apartment?
No, I'm good. So just James, like a fucking banshee. So James started telling people on the Isle of Man about Jeff. People believed James because they had even crossed paths with the Mongoose themselves. One day, a boy named Will Cubbins claims he saw a little yellow animal roaming around in front of his house. It stuck out to him because there aren't a lot of weasel-like creatures on the Isle of Man. You may hear about an ogre, but no weasel or ferret-like animals. A post office worker named John Moore, who is Dorlish Cashman's mailman, was on his route one day, and the Irvings invited him inside. While they were in the kitchen, they began to hear rustling and thumping inside the walls. Then John heard Jeff speak. So he spoke, but it was more like a scream. Put the bloody gramophone on. He knew that it wasn't any of the Irvings because he was looking at them when he heard the voice. Eventually, word got around and attracted a lot of attention from researchers and tabloids, reaching as far as Hong Kong. The Irvings released photos that they claimed to be of Jeff. Others began to come forward and say that they had heard Jeff speak as well.
Like 15 people end up testifying that they've heard or seen this thing.
That's fucking wild. So several people came to visit the farmhouse and they experienced noises that couldn't be explained and disembodied voices that echoed through the walls. Paranormal investigators would chalk these goings on to poltergeist activity. The more skeptical side would claim they'd noticed the voices they heard would be coming from wherever Vori Irving was.
This is when people started to assume she was like some master ventriloquist, that she could just throw her voice. Hmm. But I don't buy that.
No. I mean, if especially not if people said that they saw him.
Yeah.
And heard him.
Unless it's like some mass hysteria type of thing.
True. True. Imagine she's just fucking with all of them. That's so funny. Oh,
that's what a lot of people think.
She's like, I hate my parents.
I'm going to make mongoose sounds.
The most famous paranormal investigation of Dorlish Cashin was headed by a psychical researcher, Harry Price. James Irving wrote to Harry in hopes that he would agree to come investigate their home. He was hesitant at first, but ultimately agreed to take on the task in 1935. Harry was less than impressed with his findings. For one, Harry never was able to see or speak to the beloved Jeff alone. Coincidentally, he was never in the talking mood. Harry was given a tour of the farmhouse and all the places where Jeff normally went. At the end of the investigation, Harry was left to wonder about the Irving family's motives. He said in his book, Confessions of a Ghost Hunter, that he could not determine whether in our role of investigators, we had taken part in a farce or a tragedy. In the book, Jeff, The Strange Tale of an Extra Special Talking Mongoose, author Christopher Joseph compared Jeff to that of a Victorian music hall comedian. Jeff liked to play pranks and make outspoken and irreverent comments. He also said that it was part of Jeff's endearing appeal. As time passed, the Irvings sold Dorlish Cashin, and the grand tale of Jeff the Talking Mongoose just faded into a distant memory. He's still a topic of interest in some paranormal circles, possibly because he was never officially disproven, but Jeff and his story still remain a mystery for now. In a letter written by Harry in April of 1938, he commented on why he found this is so fascinating. He said, I agree that the whole family must be mixed up in it, but there still remains the question of motive. It certainly is not to draw people to Cashin's Gap, because they do their utmost to keep them away. The motive for the imposture lies much deeper than mere publicity.
Well, that's what's crazy is, like when this was printed in all the tabloids and stuff, people were flocking to the Isle of Man to see Jeff the Talking Mongoose. And what would happen is that they would just storm the property, fuck a ton of stuff up. So the family ended up losing money because of this thing. Hmm. It's not like they were trying to make a penny off of it.
So what do you guys think? Do you think that it was real? Or do you think that it was a daughter?
I think there's a theory out there that this thing's like a tulpa, like a thought form energy ghost. Where...
Like they just manifested it?
Yeah. It happens. Huh. Interesting. Why a mongoose?
Well, it's probably somebody saw it in a encyclopedia.
Their imaginary friend.
Or it could be like a fae type creature. It's, we don't know. It's, this is what's fascinating about the story. Is it a ghost? Is it like some weird interdimensional cryptid? Like, what is it?
You know? Well, it did say that there were like fairies in that area, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's that. Just a fairy but that...
But the fact it's from India is like the strange part.
It says it's from India, but it's also a jokester and a prankster, so it could be lying.
Trickster spirit.
Imagine it has like an Indian accent.
Oh, that's exactly where my brain went to.
I am here to talk to you about your car's extended warranty. That was a terrible Indian accent.
That was really bad.
Wait, wasn't it like in the 30s? Your carriage is...
They had cars back then.
Your carriage is... No, they did?
Yeah.
In the 30s?
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought it was like horse-drawn carriages.
I thought cars weren't until like the 50s.
Yeah.
No, they had the Model A and stuff like that. The steam-powered cars.
Okay.
The jalopies and whatnot.
You know stuff. I don't know shit.
I watch a lot
of I'm just here to read.
Yeah. Well, and, you do a great job.
And, you know, be me. All right. Well, cool. So we know now about Jeff. And I would be interested also to hear what our listeners think.
Yes.
Is he real or is he not?
I know this is a short episode this week.
We have nothing to say.
Yeah. we underestimated how little there was on this topic.
But it's okay because we'll be back next week and... We're going to talk so much. You guys are just not even going to know what to do.
Yeah. It's going to be a good one.
We're going to have so much to say.
I feel like we phoned this one in, but I know we didn't. There's just not a whole lot on this. The books that are on this topic are like very expensive. So
we're not rich. So if you guys could download the show so that we can buy some books on Jeff, that would be great.
I need Jeff to Talking Mongoose books.
I still need a mattress. we still need a new laptop.
We need new laptops, mics.
Recording equipment so we can make videos that I can put on the TikTok. TikTok.
It's like, all right, well, that's a different marketing strategy.
But wait, isn't TikTok getting banned?
I don't know.
That's what somebody said in September.
Well, they keep saying that, but it's got to pass the stuff. Anyway, Christian, do you that thing that you do.
Thank you guys so much for listening and... We're following us, downloading, doing all those things. Those are great. We enjoy those. Keep doing them. What are we covering next week?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Is it going to be a surprise?
It's a surprise.
Ooh, I like surprises.
But yeah.
Even I will be surprised because I will probably come into it and be like, what are we doing tonight?
Yeah, we haven't really talked about it.
We suck.
We have something written down, but due to some current events, we might change some things around. But yeah, if we do that, I want to do it right. So anyway, guys, stay creepy.
Stay spooky.
Stay strange.
And we'll see you next Friday.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.